song. This open the Bible once again. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22 and 23. This is now our final lesson for this series of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I hope that we learn things that can help us in our walk with the Lord. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Let's all stand, please. Let's read these verses together. Sorry, from verse number 22 and also 22 verses, and we read that all together. If you are there, begin reading from Galatians 5, verse number 22 together now. Ready, read.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law.
Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture once again. Help us tonight as we tackle once again this important admonition from the Word of God. And I pray, O God, that we will apply this, because this is also one important thing to have in our Christian walk. And we, Lord, tonight we will talk about temperance and help all of us of that to have this beautiful fruit of the Spirit to keep us away from harm, to keep us away from regrets and problems in the future. Lord, once again, I commit to you this passage of Scripture. Help your people. Protect us here, Lord, in our service. Keep us away from evil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The fruit of the Spirit is temperance. We call this self-control. Self-control. So again, sometimes in our life we have good intentions. We grow older. We grow in our Christian walk. When we were little, we look forward for a beautiful future. And many of us, we have high ambitions. Many of you wanting to become a doctor when you were young, and you were thinking about choosing a profession. When you grow older, you say, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a nurse, I want to be a teacher, I want to be a policeman, I want to be a military person, I want to be a basketball player, and that's one for me. I want to be a PBA player, but I was short. I didn't realize it. If only I knew that, I could not have that, I will never think about becoming a basketball player. But I didn't realize it. I was really short. I thought that I would still grow taller. But, my growth stopped right there when I realized it, that I won't grow anymore. So, again, we make good intentions, then we actually fail. It's common. Good intentions often end in failure. We end up in failure. So, in our lives, we formulate things. We formulate personal plans. How to achieve and how to get the greatest potential for the future, greatest productivity in life, greatest, we have great ambitions and we want to get it, we want to be prosperous, we want to prosper in the future. And then by that, thinking about it, you have something figured out in your mind. Some of us, when we have that, that, especially during New Year, the New Year's resolution, we list down things, list down. These are the things that I don't want to do in life, and these are the things that I want to do. So we begin to make a list of to do and not to do. We identify things, items that we want to avoid, so that we avoid the pitfalls. And then things that we want to accomplish in our lives, we want to do that in our list. Then after that, when years have passed, then we find ourselves falling short of our expectations and ending up in regrets. And that is what perhaps this temperance will come in. This is where the fruit of the Spirit, which is temperance, to come into your life, so that you will get help. to achieve those things that we want to achieve in our life. There's one thing in my life that nearly killed me. One thing in my life that maybe accumulation of bad things, but this one thing really, the one that nearly wasted my future, wasted my youth, and that is drinking. Drinking was really something that seemingly harmless at the first glance, but in the long run can kill you without you knowing it. That it's like, that's what the Bible says, it bites it like a serpent. And when you realize it, you are already succumbed to the venom that you could not get out. But again, little by little, the venom of drinking will kill people. Drink has shed more blood, according to what I found there in the... I'll just read this because this is really good. He said, drink has shed more blood, hung more cream, sold more homes, plunged more people into bankruptcy, armed more villains, slain more children, snapped more wedding rings, defiled more innocence, blinded more eyes, dethroned more reason, wrecked more manhood, dishonored more womanhood, broken more hearts, blasted more lives, driven more to suicide, and dug more graves than any other scourge that has scourged this world, and that is drinking. That is what drinks has brought to this world. Enjoy drinking, you know, enjoy the frolic of the night with drinks, but the end of that is misery. Again, there are some other areas in our lives that when we look back, oh, they had gone out of control. Mine was gambling, unreasonable. Staying there all night, 30 hours, 32, 36 hours, no proper sleep, just for drink, just for gambling. You want to get the money of your, you know, partner there. When you gamble, the money that you have there, that's what you want. You want all their money. That's why it's called covetousness. Because you want to gamble so that you can get all their monies. Then all of that will be yours. You don't want to work for that money. You want that money from them, you know, by clever playing of cards, or you know, trying to plan an attack in order for you to get their money. So that's another thing that, as I look back, I would say, oh wow, I wasted my life there. I wasted my time. So much time was wasted. So there are things that have gone really out of control. Then we say, oh, I will never do that again. And I'm sure that is my result. There's no turning back. There's no going back to that old life of misery, old life of covetousness, old life of wastefulness. And then some people, they are still there, but they're hoping that one day they can get out of there. I have a friend, our neighbor. She was a lesbian in those times. Lesbian and gay is not so common, but she was. I think she was 19 years old, 20, and I was 14, 15, something like that. We were neighbors, and we played things in, you know, bingo and all that in our neighborhood. And every day we see each other after school, so we were just there. And we went to the, you know, in Ayala Center, Ayala Land, there are properties there that's nice grass, and young people will go there and play. And before I went to the Baptist church, we also used the same place for us, you know, just a neighborhood. Youth will go there and hang around. And there was that lesbian girl, and she thought that she could get out of that, you know. She's like confessing to us that she's a lesbian, but she's not dreaming that, you know, to become lesbian all the rest of her life. That was 1991, 1992. As far as I know, she's still a lesbian today. But she never thought, she never dreamed that she would stay like that. She's thinking that to get married and marry a man sometime in the future, and you know, she drank, she smoked, and as far as I know, she also like marijuana, and she went to college and went along with so many lesbians of her life. Again, she said that she would never stay that way. And again, right now, I believe if she's going to look back on the things that she has done in her life, I would say that she will have this resolve maybe in her life, that she will say, if I return, you know, the hand of time, I will never do that again. I will never do such a thing again. I'm going to quit as early as I could. I believe that was what she said in those times, that she's going to quit someday. She's going to quit smoking, she's going to quit drinking, and she's going to quit those things that entangled her of what she is, what she was at that moment. Again, these are areas that we cannot really control, things that will go out of control of our life. But I believe the Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit maybe is prompting these people to come into their lives so that they can gain help, and they can be able to withstand against this kind of righteous living. And the Holy Spirit offers this self-control. The Holy Spirit is the one that can offer us this temperance. And this Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit that delivers us from despair. Because without the Holy Spirit of God, I will tell you, we will be led into despair and misery and a life that you don't wish and you don't want to have in the future. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is the one that will enable us to win. That is why how important it is to be saved. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that will guide us. Not everyone maybe is guided, but at least the Holy Spirit is there, can prompt us day after day, and then can put us right back to track in this life. So the Holy Spirit is the one that offers us self-control. And again, it's better not to get to the point where there's no turning back. Life is already damaged and devoured by Satan. And so many lives already devoured by Satan. Self-control. How important is this in our life? What is a life of a Christian without self-control or temperance? So here tonight, in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 3, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 3, we find this, or 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Without Christ, we cannot do anything, but now with Christ in us, whatever things there is, we can do it because we have the Holy Spirit of God that can, that will enable us. We have the Holy Spirit of God that will give us this ability to do the things of God. So therefore, here, we can exchange our self-confidence now for faith. We can put away our we can put away or put aside our self-confidence. Although the Bible says we can do all things, but it is not because of our own might. It is not because of our own ability. We can do all things. It's because of Christ that strengthens us. Without Him, we cannot do anything. You see, there are good things in self-confidence. I'm not saying that I will discourage you to apply self-confidence in your life. It is good to have self-confidence. It is really good. But again, there are plus and minus about self-confidence. Why I say there are this plus and minus? Because self-confidence, for sure, enables us to achieve some things. But also, self-confidence will limit us to human potential. It only up to where you can, because it is coming from you. But whereas if the Holy Spirit of God will come in, and if the Holy Spirit of God will give you that temperance, the Holy Spirit of God will give you that confidence that's not coming from your might, that's not coming from your strength, it's coming from the Holy Spirit of God, then you can do more. Far and beyond what you can do in your human means, in your human strength. So the Holy Spirit of God adds this divine dimension in your walk. This is beautiful. You know, we have strength of our own. We have, the Lord will enable us to do things without us praying for it. Without us, you know, we can travel to Hamilton or Wellington without the help of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, we don't have to pray so hard to get that. There are things that we can by our own ability, but when the Holy Spirit of God will come into the picture, then you can find that this addition of the Holy Spirit of God will bring you into some dimension that is not naturally there. This dimension that is not naturally available or, you know, within your ability to do. It is the Holy Spirit of God that adds this situation. So this, there are things that are beyond our human calculation. Without this dimension, as I said, you will not go through, you will not go through, because there's no way. Say, for example, okay, what about we will plan to have, you know, a massive building? Oh, that is ambitious. And then you will have that self-confidence. And you say, we can do this, we can do this. We are able to do it. But your ability of doing things will just be limited to what you have, your capacity. But when we say, we can have this item if the Lord be with us. You see, that is the addition there. There is this dimension that is not within your scope of strength. There is this dimension that can be added into that will open up the unlimited, you know, resource of God into our use. So these are these things that are beyond our human calculation. Remember Joshua. Joshua led his people to victory over Jericho. Now Jericho is not, a tiny country or nation. It was tough. There were no match. Israel has no match with Jericho. It was a large country and city and walls and well protected with archers and people guarding the wall and so high, and they cannot even come close to that wall because it was guarded. There's no way Israel can cross and take over Jericho. There's no way. It was beyond their power. That's what I said. Beyond their power. No matter how they say that we can do this, we can do this. Only on certain point, but not really taking over that great enemy by their own strength, because they cannot have the capacity to overthrow the city. Militarily, it was impossible. Financially, out of match. out of match. Physically, it was overwhelming. Because while they're coming closer, you know, the archer, well, they will get killed yards or hundreds of yards before they reach even, before they can get even closer. Jericho and the guards are on top of the tower, I mean, the wall, and the wall was so thick that they said that maybe two chariots can, like two cars can run on top of the tower, I mean, on top of the wall. And very strong. That is why the battle was not the way we think of battles. It's not about, you know, sword by sword and it's not like that. The battle of Jericho was so unique, never before happened. But because these people, they believe in God, led by Joshua. Joshua was led by God, and he communicated God's command. And people believed in Joshua, and they fought that battle, and they won. They only need what they need for the battle. It's not spears, and not a shield, and not arrow. They just need lamps. They just use pitcher. What else? There's another one.
Trumpet.
You know, who can tie a trumpet when the trumpet is blown? No one will tie that. If you break a pitcher, no one will die. But lamp, pitchers, and trumpets. They blow the trumpet, break the pitchers, and then all of a sudden, with a shout, then Jericho's wall fell flat. They ran for their lives, and they chased the people and killed everybody. Militarily, it was impossible, but God was there with them. That is why they said, we can do this, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. I will tell you, what is your Jericho this morning? What is your Jericho that you are fighting against? You see, we have battles we face every day. Some of you have problems with family. Some of you problems with money. Some of you problems with workplaces or relationships. Some have problems with their children or parents. Sorts of problems, a lot of problems. But I will tell you, whatever is that, they might be your Jericho today, they might be your enemy today, but if God be with us, who can be against us? Amen. That is why I can do all things. Do not stop right there, because the verse doesn't stop right there. It carries on. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, and you see the example of David. David fought against Goliath, the mighty warrior of the Philistines. The giant. A man of, you know, war. Large, you know, very big person. Again, against David, maybe he's just around 17, 18 years old. Maybe around the size of Libby. And to fight against a very mammoth creature with so many people already got killed by this man. Again, physically, there was no match. But the thing with David, he has the Lord. He has the Lord on his side. That is why, again, this can be applied to Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, but with Christ that strengtheneth me. You see, in the New Testament, you can see the disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ did not pick up disciples from universities, from all, you know, great universities all over the world. Did not get disciples from Oxford University or Harvard. Or Cambridge. He did not use those kind of qualities of people. He used unlearned fishermen. They were unlearned. In fact, they were complaining. What is evil? They were unlearned. They did not go to school like we do. They were just fishermen. They did not study words. They did not study etymology. And they didn't study languages. They didn't study construction of sentences. They just study how to mend nets and catch fish. And now they are speaking as if they are speaking with authority. Why is that? Again, there is a great addition of the power of God. There is this great addition of the Holy Spirit of God into their lives. That's what makes them, you know, unique. Unlearned disciples turning the world upside down. Oh, here comes all these people who turn the world upside down. Now, words coming from them, coming from the learned people, coming from the lawyers and professionals, and they're talking about the unlearned. These unlearned people who turn the world upside down. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, sometimes we face the future, sometimes we face in a day where there are dooms of defeat. But those dooms of defeat can be changed to victory only in God's power. When you have God's power, then you can change all those things into victory. Again, cling unto the Lord. Be, allow the Lord to use you. Allow the Lord to have a free flow, a free course in your life. Allow Him to navigate your life. Do not navigate your life on your own. Why? In the first place, you do not know where's the destination. Allow the Lord to navigate your life. Oh, I want to be this. I want to be that. I was so foolish that I want to become a PBA player. I was so foolish. For all those years, I thought I could get it. And again, you see, the Lord wants us to understand that despite of, you know, the rumors of defeat, despite of the rumors of difficulty ahead, we can change that to victory if God be with us. Again, all the discipline that we need in this life, all of them are available in the Lord Jesus, especially with the Holy Spirit of God. The discipline of self-control in action, it is coming from the Holy Spirit of God. The temperance there, the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. So discipline is the evidence of the Holy Spirit's power. Without the Holy Spirit in our life, we may be able to, you know, control ourselves, but it's different if the Holy Spirit is the one that's controlling ourselves, and then we can gain the things that we can gain, especially in a spiritual manner. And again, we have to trust the Lord that enables us to do what we ought to do, because without Him, we do not really know what to do. I don't know if what had happened last week in your life happened according to your plan. A lot of things that happened last week, my plan. I had my diary. I put all my schedules. All my schedules are there. I'll make sure that I will not miss anything every single day. I put everything I remember. Oh, there is a visitation to be done. I will see this today, Sunday, tomorrow. You see, I have men's meeting tomorrow at 6:30. Tuesday, Sam has driving test, and I hope she will pass. Tuesday morning. On Wednesday, if I will not say anything about it, do not ask. On Wednesday, if I will not say anything about Sam's driving test, please do not ask, because that's understandable. I put it there. Then, in the evening of Wednesday, I have a meeting with the accountant, with Sister Amy. But I think I have to change this, because I have a Bible study with those people that will be baptized. So I think Sister Amy need to find some other time with the accountant. Wednesday, I have service, of course, midweek service. And then on Thursday, I have counseling with Tony. No, Friday. So I have this meeting also with UniWay, the foundation in the Philippines, and meeting with Pastor Jimbo also in the morning. Zoom. Then Saturday is not here. I have to fly to Wellington and then attend the meeting there, and then come back in the evening. So it's full. The week is full. But again, that is my plan. Sometimes God will change the plan. A lot of things that happened last week, and I had already planned, and God changed the plan. That is why, again, we can make plans. That's okay, and it's good. But it's really the Lord that will enable us to do that. You see, we have that, we call it self-confidence. This is what I can do. This is what I want to do. But it's different if the Lord is with us. It changed that self-confidence. It changed that for faith. Lord, that is what I'm planning to do. And there are more during the day. I put only in the evening time because most of the people in the church, I can attend to their needs only in the evening time. But in the morning, I have other things to do. So, again, plans. We make plans. Self-confidence. But we put faith there in the Lord. Exchange your self-confidence, brothers and sisters. Exchange it for faith. Because that is even better. Again, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13 again. Not just exchange your confidence for faith. Exchange your willpower for God's power. We have power. We can do things that, as we want. But it's not really going to be more meaningful if we do it by our own power. So change it. Allow the power of God to overrule your power. Notice the word there in our text. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. The word, I can do all things through Christ. That means you have to trade your I want to I can. I can. There's a possibility that I can do this. If God will allow me, I can do this. If only will God will be with me in this, I can do this. You see, that's not what I want. That is what God wants. You can, not your own power. You can through the power of God. You see, you've been trying to win all your life. Me, I've been trying to win. I want to win everything that I will get my hands into. I want to win. But again, even though we've been trying to win with our willpower, but the problem with our willpower, the problem with that, our willpower is limited. There's limit. It's good to exercise our power within our limit, but there is limit. But one thing that we have not tapped, one thing that we have not used, is God's power in our life. That is one thing we miss. That is one thing that we have not used. That is something that we have put aside because we rely on our willpower rather than use God's power. How many of us maybe have shared the gospel once a week and then have a successful soul winning effort once a week? You see? We fail many times. We don't get it. Because your power is limited. First, you are already slender in your time. You are already slender with your ability to move. You need to sleep. That's given. You cannot avoid it. You have to sleep. You have to eat. You cannot avoid it. You are slithered with your time because you need to eat. Now you have to go to work. You are slithered with your time because you have to work. And then after work, you have to rest. You are slithered with time because you have no time. And then later on, you have free time. You feel like, oh, I want to relax. I want to watch TV. So you sat there, you sit there in your couch, and then time flies away. And then the next day again, same cycle. And then the next day again, same cycle. And then the next day again. Nothing is done for the Lord. Why? You have that willpower, but the problem with our willpower, our power is limited. But we have not asked the Lord, Lord, I want to do something for you. Lord, I want to share the gospel. Lord, first, I don't have time. Second, I do not know how. Third, I'm afraid to share the gospel. A lot of things there that stop you. But if you tap God's power, I will tell you, the way that you wish it, the way that you desire it, it's no longer yours. It's no longer your own ability to accomplish what you want. But it is the Lord that will help you, and therefore you will not say, I want. You will say, I can do this if the Lord is with me. That is the difference there. You see, we want to win. We want to lead people to Christ. We want them to know Christ. But nothing happens because we do not have the power of God. We always use our own power. This is what I want. That's good, but it won't work because your will is limited. Whereas you set aside God's will or God's power, which is powerful, almighty, and unlimited power. You see that? Every Christian has to understand that we are all equipped to win. Don't think that you cannot do this, I cannot do that. No, you can do that. It's just that you are not yet in the position because you have no battery in you. You have no battery from the Holy Spirit. You have no power from the Holy Spirit. God's unlimited power is operative in you. There's a lot of power within us that we have not used. There's a lot, exponential power that is untapped, unused. If we yield to the Holy Spirit of God, it provides us temperance. Temperance so that you can do those things that your soul desires. There are things that your soul desires, and it won't happen until you tap that God's power. Allow the Lord to do that. You see, I was just an ordinary church member, very ordinary. I don't want to be noticed in our church as much as possible, but because I was one of the young professionals, when I came to church, I was one of the young professionals. So no matter how much I cover myself, you know, I don't want to deceive my pastor. When I come to church, I try to, especially when pastor will ask, when pastor finish preaching, then we pray. I mean, we stand up and we sing. And then after that, he will look around, who's going to pray. I will cover myself because I don't want to deceive. But no matter how much I cover myself, pastor will still call me. And I stammer. I pray, you know, nonsense. Embarrassing prayer because I do not know how to pray. I was young. I was young in my Christian life. I try to hide myself from that because I don't want anything. I don't want to be in the to be known there. But again, when I surrender my life to the Lord, it's so tiresome to run away and to, you know, put things in front of me so that I cannot do the things of God. When I release all of that, then the Lord will begin to use you. So that means if the Lord used me then, and until now He used me now, what about you? There is potential. God's power is in each of us. There is great potential in us that we have not tapped, we have not used. Because we want our own power there. We want our own, will there. Oh, Pastor, you know, what you said is good, but I just want to be a member, and I just want to be a supporter. I just want to, just make money and support the church. That's what I want. I don't want to have leadership there in the church. I don't want to have anything to do. I just want to give my offering, and that's all. And that's what I think. That's what I thought. That's what I wanted to do. We live Philippines. That's what I thought. Now I think, you know what? If we go to the U.S., I think we have a great potential there. I can work, you can work, and can give to offering, can give to missions. Why not? You know, let's try it, and then I will try it, and I'll search how to. U.S. is near impossible. So what about Australia? What about New Zealand first? New Zealand, it's so hard. So what about Australia? And then it died down. That, adrenaline there died down because it's hard. Until Pastor Tabakero from Australia came. Said, you need help, I need help. I go every day and I preach. I have Bible study three times a week. And I preach morning and evening. I need help. I said, Pastor, I have you there. I will do your driving. Then my plan is to support the church. Jingyi and I will work. You see, can do that. Our income, tithes, will go to the church. Another 10% for the mission. Another 10% for the love offering. So 10% there, 10% there, 10% there. Then we still have this amount left. I think we can survive this. We will buy old cars or second-hand cars, and then we can survive. I think we have a great potential. That's what I thought. Come to New Zealand or Australia, work, and send money to mission, send money to the world. But God has a different plan. That's why we arrived to New Zealand. That's why we arrived to Australia. You see, all of us, the Lord equipped us to win. There is great potential in, the Lord has invested a lot in us. But first, we have to understand this. Not our self-confidence, but it is for faith. Change your self-confidence for faith. Change your willpower for God's power. Because you cannot do it by your own. And lastly here, go back to our text. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now exchange your weakness for God's strength. And that is very common, very understandable there. That we cannot really do things by our own strength. But the problem with us, we try, and we keep on trying. And not tapping that strength, because we want to try with our own strength. And even though we know that it won't work, we know it won't work. Our flesh won't work. Our labor won't work. The best that we can do still won't work. And we know it. And still, we do not want to tap God's power. It seems like we are foolish, but we are not foolish. We just don't want it. We know that in order for us to do things and that we desire in our hearts, that our soul desires, is the only way that to make it possible is to tap God's power. We know it, but we don't. We will exhaust all means that we have available. We will exhaust all possible things that we can grab with our hand. We still have money there. We still have. I'm still young to work and to earn money. I can use this youth that I have and spend these times and years of my life so that I can accomplish what I want. And we exhaust all our resources. We exhaust our youth. We exhaust our talent and our treasure. We exhaust all of that. And once it's all run out and nothing is done, then people knees and missing teeth and missing hairs and wrinkled faces, we come to the Lord and surrender all. That is, again, why? Because in our mind, we can do these things and we can do that. We do not surrender to the Lord until to the minute that we cannot do it anymore. Until to the point that there is no way I can do this. And then we surrender our life to the Lord. But I tell you, it's not even too late. It's not even too late. Whatever you are right now, it's not too late. I'm just showing you that this is what's happening in every Christian's ministry, and every person that loves the Lord, they will exhaust first. That's normal. They will exhaust all that they can before they will tap that great strength that is coming from the Lord. Remember again this verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It is from Christ. That strength comes from Christ. That strength, my friend, is from God. Your strength is limited. My strength is limited. But that strength that is coming from God is unlimited. No wonder we fail. No wonder that with all our good intentions in life and still nothing is done. Souls are not saved. Our loved ones are still unsaved. Our loved ones are still hidden. Nothing is going right in our Christian life. Why? Because it is your strength. And your strength is just limited. You have good intentions. But those good intentions, it's hard to be materialized. That is why all of us, I believe, the only way forward is to go back, acknowledge God's unlimited power and tap it. Grab it, get something from the Lord, because I believe there's no result is the end. There's no victory that you cannot win. There's nothing that's stopping you. When God is on your side, when God, when you attune your channel to God's way and God's program in your life. So here, in conclusion, we have to exchange also our guilt for God's forgiveness. Sometimes we have this guilt. Oh, I am so sinful. And we cannot get over our guilt. We have guilt in our past failures. And those past failures in our life keeps on ringing and ringing in our ears. Reminding us, oh, you're so bad. You're so... all those kind of things that Satan will bring up into your mind. So that you will disqualify yourself. I'll tell you, it's not God that disqualifies you. It's you disqualifies yourself. That is why the battle now is in your mind. And something like when you come to the Lord to ask for forgiveness, the battle is in your mind. Remember that God has forgiven you, but Satan will bring that up to your mind, bombard you with the guilt. And then later on, you will feel depressed because I cannot do that. I'm so sinful. Romans chapter 12, verse number Romans 12, 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed with it to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is the battle there. The past is past. You are forgiven by the Lord. Keep moving forward. Satan will come up and put a placard in your face, and then he wrote down all those sins that you are guilty of, and then you feel depressed. Then you move forward, you struggle and fight back, and then Satan will bring that again into your face, so that you will feel guilty. And once you did that, once you feel depressed, once you feel defeated, then you will see that nothing can happen. Nothing can happen in your life. We all have guilt feelings. I'll tell you, if I will recall all the sins, if Satan will bring that up to me, and then I will listen to that, long time ago, I will not do anything for that. I am not worthy at all. I am not worthy even to preach the gospel. I'm not worthy because I'm so sinful. You see, exchange your guilt for God's forgiveness. Guilt is real because all of us fail. God is able to forgive us despite our guilt. God will make us a winner. Remember, it's God, not you. However you try it, you may, but it's only God that will make us a real and true winner. So that is what God wants us to do. Exchange your guilt for God's forgiveness. And the fruit of the Spirit will change your life. The only key here is you allow the Holy Spirit of God to take control of your life. And you can start that today. Start today. From now on, give the Holy Spirit of God the full control. Do not take the control. Give it to the Lord. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no real self-control. But with the Holy Spirit of God, you have that potential. And God will give you victory after victory after victory. Why? It's because it is God that works in you. Let's bow our heads, friend. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the blessing. Reminder of your word. Lord, that is what the word of the Holy Spirit in our life. We've been talking about this for many weeks. The fruit of the Spirit, the working of the Spirit. It's amazing how busy the Holy Spirit and how crucial He is in our life. And in fact, Lord, we know now that He is the one that worked in our salvation. He is the one that worked in our hearts to convict our hearts so that we will receive Christ as our Savior. And after that, He was the one who taught us things of God that we can never learn apart from Him. We can never learn the Bible without Him. We can never learn the doctrines without Him. But Lord, You are so faithful for giving us the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Father, help us with this fruit of the Spirit, which is temperance. And help us, O God, that we can have this. Because we want to win, but not our own want or will, not our own power. But Lord, we decide to win through the Holy Spirit of God in our life. Bless us, O God. Bless our desire. Allow, Lord, that many souls will come to know Christ through our own soul winning, through our own endeavor and sacrifices. That, Lord, we will endeavor to sacrifice our time and to devote our time to soul winning and to learning things of the gospel. And Lord, make us victorious. Make us, Lord, victorious. And help us to see souls will get saved. And Lord, that will make us joyful in the work of the ministry. Bless all your people now. And thank you, Lord, for speaking to us tonight. And Lord, I pray that we will be victorious from this day and forward. All of us, O God, will endeavor to share the gospel. And through the Holy Spirit of God that works in our life, we will win and we will have victory. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. Let's all stand and let's sing the final hymn.